The MSP generation divide, vulnerability scans don't do this, and why the MSP name is valuable. Coming up next.
You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Well, this is a great story. Do a whole podcast and forget to turn the video recorder on. Oh, well. Take two, and this time, yes, check. Video was recording, audio was recording, good to go. Okay, this I feel like deja vu because I'm doing this all over again. But I will make it even better, I promise you. It's going to be even better than the first time, not that any of you are going to hear it or look at it in that time. But the MSP generation divide is going to lead into this talk about vulnerability scanning and how it ought to be used in a managed services environment, how it ought not be used, and then finally get into this kind of a age-old debate of do we continue using the term MSP or do we throw it away and replace it with something else? So all these things are going to be kind of interlinked together. They'll correlate together, as you'll see momentarily. But I want to start with this MSP generation divide and talk real briefly about this notion of older and younger MSP entrepreneurs, older and younger MSP organizations, and because I started to think about it in terms of a gap, right? And in fact, I called it the MSP generation divide. And if it's anything, it may be a divide and not a gap. And what I thought about this is that if it's a divide, it's a divide that needs to be not gap filled, right? Gap is like it's a valley or it's a crevice that, you know, a hole that needs to be plugged. It's not a hole. It's not anything like that. It's a divide that needs to be connected. And I look at it as two, you know, it's more fluid than this, right? So forgive me with some of these phrases I'm using, but older and younger MSP entrepreneurs do need to be connected together. They need to have a connection, a solid, unbreaking connection to one another for a variety of reasons. And I'm going to get into what those reasons are momentarily. The notion that there are older and younger MSPs out there, it shouldn't come to anyone's surprise. But, you know, we all get older and we all start to think about these things. And I am reminded of it almost on a daily basis because I see and interact with a lot of legacy people, a lot of people, my friends, my age, you know, who are, you know, they've been around, they're in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and they're still active in the managed services space. And they're, you know, they're still at it. They're doing good stuff. They own their business. They work in a business that, you know, has been around for a while, whatever. But they're people who are credible people. They're serious professionals, executives, and they believe in managed services. And then you've got the younger generation, and I'm seeing, you know, applicants for MSP Alliance membership that are, you know, really young, like in their early 20s, and they're starting out and they're starting an MSP business. And I'm thinking, wow, this is awesome. This is really cool. And I started thinking about it and I thought, well, what makes that unique and what are some of the advantages maybe that a younger generation MSP has that that an older generation MSP may not have? And one thing that came to mind immediately was a younger MSP entrepreneur, business owner, executive has none of the baggage, the legacy, call it battle scars, the experience, and I don't mean in a bad way, but I'm talking about they don't have any of the prejudices of the old MSP business model. And what I mean by that is the specific transition between reactive to proactive, break fix to managed services was a real big issue for better part of a decade, probably over a decade, because it really started in the mid to late 90s, and it really didn't end until at least 2010. So a good amount of time. And there's a lot of MSPs who struggled. There's a fair amount of VARs who did not make it. There's a fair amount of VARs who made it to managed services, but they didn't last, right? They couldn't quite make it successfully because it was a hard thing. It was a difficult thing to take an existing business. You know, think about it, taking a $10 million break fix value-added reseller business and then all of a sudden saying one day, you know, everybody is wanting managed services. Our customers want managed services. Every conference I go to is about managed services. How do we do this? And how do we do it without threatening the entire company? Right? These are not easy issues. And some people did it successfully. Some people did it begrudgingly and did it only over a longer period of time than it otherwise ought to have taken. Some people tried it and didn't succeed. Some people never tried it and failed. Some people never tried it and are, to this day, 2023, now just starting to realize, wow, I've got a $500 million value-added reseller business and I've run out of road. I've got no more train tracks. I can't go any further on this business model. I've got to shift into managed services mode. And that's going to take some effort. I get it. If it was easy, everybody would have done it. But the younger generation of MSPs don't have to worry about that. A young MSP doesn't start a business and say, you know what, I'm going to get into the break fix business. I read a lot about that. And I really want to be a reactive IT provider. Nobody does that. Nobody thinks about that. The young generation says, I want the recurring revenue. I want the stability, the stickiness with the customers. I want the deep customer satisfaction. I want customers to trust us. I want them to look at us as a trusted advisor, as a strategic partner to them, to their organization and to them personally. Right? They want those things. They want the good margins. They want all of it. They're not saying, let's start and do, you know, a decade of break fix before we figure out that it's not worth it and nobody wants it and it doesn't generate any revenue and it's a horrible business model that's outdated and dying, if not dead already. Right? They don't look at the world the way we do because they have never had to think about it in those terms. They look at it as, I'm going to start as an MSP on day one, and what does my future now look like? Which brings us to the flip side of that issue. If a younger generation MSP startup, let's say, has no preconceived notions of what struggles the older generation of MSPs went through, they also need to understand that there are well-established, we'll call them best practices, principles, whatever you want to call it, that have to be followed. Have to be. It's a path. I always think about it as a path, a pretty wide path, right? It's not rigid. It's not at all rigid. It's a path that is very accommodating in terms of a variety of different types of business models and different operational styles. But it's a path nonetheless, and it has an edge on each side. And if you start to stray from either one of those edges of the path, you get into a territory where it's dangerous. And it's dangerous not because it's off the path, but because it's not accepted. It's not what people are used to. And you can get into really dangerous territory. And I know some of you are saying, well, Charles, that's really kind of an old way of looking at things, man, because that's what youth is all about. It's about innovating. It's about looking at the world through fresh eyes and all that. I get that. I get it. And I'm acknowledging that that's a good thing. But there's a difference between looking at things through fresh eyes and innovating while still staying on the path that came before you, created well before you by people who put a lot of sweat, a lot of toil, a lot of heartache into figuring out real challenging business problems the hard way through trial and error. And that's what creating that path took. At some point, there wasn't a path there. It was just field or jungle or whatever, you know, terrain you want to think of, but it wasn't hospitable. There were trailblazers of MSPs who didn't have people before them to go to and say, how did you figure out how to transition from a break, fix, reactive company to a proactive MSP? How did you do that? They weren't around. You know what they had? They had each other. They had someone was neck and neck with them, cutting through the same jungle territory, the same deep weeds, the same tall grass, the same whatever. It was difficult terrain, and the only people they could turn to was the person to the left or the right, saying, you know, should we keep going this way? Should we go backwards? Should we go left? Should we go right? Should we go up the mountain? Should we go down the mountain? Should we cross the stream? Should we not cross the stream? Should we build a bridge? What do we do? They figured it out on their own. And over the course of creating that path, they were creating the principles, the best practices that are now today embodied and cherished in the MSP profession worldwide. And it doesn't mean that the younger generation can't innovate. That's not true at all. In fact, I think that's something that is necessary, is we need younger generations of MSP entrepreneurs to challenge present, current ways of thinking, not to replace them entirely, but to improve upon them, to observe their inefficiencies, if at all, and to say, maybe there's a better way to do it. Maybe there's a faster way to do it, right? Maybe in my way of looking at it, it's not generally, is this current way of doing it wrong, but is there a better, more optimal, more efficient way to accomplish that same goal? Because the previous generation never really thought about it the way that we do. That's what I'm talking about. That's the generational divide that needs to be connected. And so if you are a younger MSP, if you're an MSP startup, and you're under, let's say, the age of 30, I really encourage you to talk to and make friends with as many older generation of MSP business owners and executives and operators as you can, because in those relationships, you will have a wealth of knowledge, and it'll go both ways. You will learn a lot from them. You'll hear about what they had to go through. You'll maybe appreciate some of the practices that we currently enjoy today as being things that weren't always taken for granted. People had to learn the hard way. And maybe you'll learn that, and maybe you'll respect that a little bit more. And maybe, maybe just maybe, you will give a fresh perspective on current ways of doing things and maybe offer some improvements yourself. Because I firmly believe this. You have a very unique way of looking at the world, and it is not the older generation's way of looking at it. And that's fine. As long as both generations are on the same path, working towards the same goal, that's what matters. That's what counts. And that's why I think this generational divide maybe isn't as wide as we thought it was, but is definitely worth having a connection to and maintaining that connection and making sure that that connection is fostered and cultivated and encouraged. Some thoughts to think about. Vulnerability scans. Okay, try not to get in trouble with this one, because I know a lot of you in the MSP world out there do vulnerability scanning. You have vulnerability scanning technologies. I get it. I'm not saying that it's bad. I'm not saying to stop. So before you even send me the email, save the hassle. Keep doing vulnerability scans. What I'm talking about here is this idea that a vulnerability scan technology is a magic bullet for or a replacement of managed services. Now, some of you MSPs out there are saying, what the heck is he talking about? Who would ever think such a stupid thing? Well, I'm not going to name names, but I'm going to tell you that we see a lot of companies out there who are leading their service offerings with vulnerability scanning and pen testing. And not really anything else. They're not leading with managed services. They don't really even say they do much in managed services, although more often than not, they're calling themselves an MSP. But they're really just reselling a vulnerability scanning, pen testing solution offered by someone else, delivered by someone else, I should say. So let's set the record straight. Vulnerability scanning is really critical. Every MSP ought to do it. They should do it on themselves regularly. That's part of the requirement of MSP Verify. So if you're not doing it today, you ought to do it today. If you're an MSP and you use vulnerability scanning as a service or as a tool for your managed services customers, that's also a good thing. I personally think that on the issue of, and I've said this before, but on the issue of pen testing, I don't really advocate, in fact, it's not really a best practice to be pen testing a customer that you're also the MSP for, right? That should really be separated for a lot of reasons, but namely, you don't want to be the same person testing your own homework, right? You want a third party, independent party doing something like a pen test because they're the only ones that can really do it dispassionately and objectively. A vulnerability scan technology, however, is a little bit different. And I look at vulnerability scanning both for the internal MSP environment, but also for customers downstream as a real critical tool. And I think that an MSP may want to think about doing vulnerability scanning not as a one-off solution, but it's something that they do to kind of like check their homework, right? That's the way I think about it. They're checking their math. They came up with an answer. They've arrived at a solution. They are delivering a managed service to a customer. And the vulnerability scan technology is a way to double check their work to make sure, did we miss anything? Are there open ports someplace? Are there gaping holes in the customer network perimeter that we didn't think about, that we should plug, that we should fix and remediate? That's how I look at vulnerability scanning. And if you agree with me, then you would quickly come to the conclusion, I think, that a company that only does vulnerability scanning but then doesn't do anything else, doesn't do any managed services, really is missing the resolution, right? They're coming up with a problem, but the answer is not going to be, well, let me do some consulting for you, fix the problem, then me walk away from it and not manage it. Because that is not a solution at all. That's a misappropriation, a misapplication of vulnerability scanning technology, if I've ever heard of one. But vulnerability scans are really critical. But again, they're not the end-all be-all of modern cybersecurity. They're a necessary tool, but they're one of many, many, many other tools that are critical in a managed service provider tool belt. It is not something... Vulnerability scanning isn't a business model, okay? Period. It's a tool. It's a screwdriver. That's it. You're not selling screwdrivers. You're not selling screwdriver services, right? You're selling managed IT solutions. You're solving problems with technology. Solving business problems with technology. And yes, vulnerability scanning tech is a necessary tool in your tool belt, but it's not in and of itself a business model. Now, for those of you out there who are legit MSPs and you're saying, geez, what the hell does he keep going on about? We don't do this, so why are you bringing this up as an issue? Well, I understand that you MSPs out there, you real MSPs out there, this doesn't apply to you. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of other companies out there that are cropping up and from their websites, this appears to be the only thing that they do or the main thing that they do. And some of them call themselves an MSP. Some of them don't. Some of them call, they all say cybersecurity. Like everywhere on their website, it's like cybersecurity this, cybersecurity that. All right, I get it. You're SEO dropping all over the place so people find you on the web. I get it. But be cautious about that. Be cautious about it, because the next and final segment that I want to talk about is directly related to this issue of vulnerability scanning is just a symptom of a much larger issue that we're dealing with today. And that issue is, who are we as a profession? And what do we call ourselves? And is this really, are we really no longer MSPs and you're only MSSPs? Or is that just a bunch of bogus marketing gobbledygook that doesn't really have any meaning? That's a separate issue, but we need to address this issue. Is the MSP term, is the word, the words managed services worth saving? And if they're not worth saving, what would you replace them with anyway? Two stories, both of them true. Weaver Outrage Meter might get to Medium. Be warned. First example. Had a friend, known him for a while, used to work for an MSP, no longer works for an MSP, works for an end user organization. This end user organization is not into technology, meaning that's not what they do. They do something completely separate. They use technology and they have technology problems, and they had a technology problem and they wanted to find an MSP. And so this individual, by the way, we have no commercial relationship with this individual. So this was purely a personal communication that happened to deal with this topic that came about, and I'm relaying it to you. So this individual who works for a large organization, I'd say they're probably, I don't know, 1,000, 2,000 employees, right? So not a small business, right? Not, you know, mid-market enterprise, maybe you would call it. They had a technical problem. They needed a solution, and they thought an MSP would solve it. And so they went to market to find an MSP, and this particular company responded to the call. I don't know how they found them. That's not part of the story, but they found a company. The company represented themselves as a managed service provider. They get a meeting with this organization, and after a period of time, this individual says, because this individual, remember, used to work in the managed services business, they used to work for an MSP, so they had a little bit of knowledge about managed service providers. And this individual started to say to his colleagues, I don't think this is an MSP. I think this is something else. And this individual gave us the URL to this company and said, man, I've been out of managed services for a little bit, but you know, hopefully I haven't gone crazy. Can you guys tell me if this is an MSP? And we looked at it and we said, nah, that's not an MSP. That they look like a consulting firm. They look like they do cybersecurity consulting, but there's nothing on here to indicate that they do anything close to managed services, like not even close. And the individual responded and said, all right, thanks. I appreciate that. That was a good reality check. And so, you know, we thought about it and we said, wow, this is, you know, we talk about this issue a lot. We talk about it with regulators and policymakers, and the issue of identifying proper identification of MSPs is a real critical issue. And here was a real live world example. And so it's kind of nice to see things validated, your theories validated and proven true. And then the second scenario occurred. And this one really got to me. And I got really ticked off. I try not to let that happen, right? Blood pressure, getting older, you want to keep all that stuff really level, calm, cool, collected. I get it. But this one really, yeah. Okay, I'll tell you what happened. I get contacted on one of the social media networks, and this individual says, hey, we'd like to learn more about your services. I get, if not I probably get hundreds of these things like every week. And I went to this organization's website page, and they did, it didn't immediately look like an MSP because they did a lot of other stuff. But then I kept looking as I do, and I found finally a page that, you know, in their main navigation bar, it said managed IT solutions. I said, oh, bingo. All right. So I click on it and I say, okay, they do a lot of other stuff. I don't know what it is, quite frankly, because none of it really made a lot of sense. But this thing says they do managed IT solutions. And the page resolved. It worked. It didn't have a 404 error. And it was littered with the term managed IT solutions. So I think, you know, I'm no managed services expert, but I have a little bit of experience with managed services. And all right, I'm going to call them and classify them as an MSP. This is an MSP because they've got a main page of their website that says managed IT solutions. This is what we do. All right, good. I'll take the meeting. Sure. So we have the meeting. And from the very beginning, something doesn't smell right. Because just the way they're asking questions and they're behaving in non-MSP ways. Charles, what does behaving in a non-MSP manner mean to you? Well, it's hard to explain, but I talk to a lot of MSPs, so I can just say that MSPs have a unique way of talking. I don't know how to explain it other than that, but to me, I can tell an MSP just by the way they talk. All right. I'm not like an MSP whisperer or anything. I talk to a lot of MSPs, and they talk a similar way. And these guys didn't talk like that. And so eventually, they're asking us most of the questions, and I finally said, well, you know, how can we help you? You know, it looks like you guys are a managed service provider. And they said, oh, no, we're not an MSP. And I what did you say? I said, no, we're not an MSP. I said, really? Because your website says you do managed IT solutions. Oh, well, if it says that, then that's a mistake. Yeah, we don't do managed services. We work with MSPs. We work with MSPs, and now that we know what you do, we'd love to, you know, have you introduce us to all of your MSP members. And I said, well, wait a minute. First of all, I'm not going to introduce you to anybody. Second of all, why do you have a website that says you do managed IT, but you just told me you're not an MSP? And from that moment on, I felt like not only are these guys liars, like straight up, you know, who does this? Who has a website that says one thing, and then you work for the company and you say that you do the exact opposite of what your website says? And I started to get really, you know, the outrage meter really went up during that call because I'd been duped. I'd been fooled. I'd been tricked. You know, I handicap a lot of MSPs. I look at websites. I look at business models. I talk to MSP organizations. I talk to companies that want to be in managed services, right? I talk to a lot of different types of people and organizations, and I have a fair amount of experience in identifying MSPs. And one of the tricks of the trade is, if it says you're an MSP on your website, maybe you're an MSP. But these guys didn't even want to be considered an MSP. They say the exact opposite. No, we're not an MSP. Well, why would you print that on your website? And then they went further on and said, well, you know, hey, is there a way that we could work together? I said, guys, I didn't say this. I thought to myself, and I checked myself because I would have said it. But I said, I don't trust you. You just lied. You are actively lying by saying one thing on the website, saying another thing verbally to me. How could anyone trust you? How could an MSP trust you? But then I started to really get furious because I thought, I got fooled. Again, I'm no managed services expert, but I got a little bit of experience in dealing with MSPs. And if I got fooled, what chance does an end user, like our friend in the first example, what chance do they have at ever figuring out if that type of a company claiming to be an MSP on their site, verbally stating they're not an MSP to at least us, what chance does an end user have of figuring this stuff out? Back to the segment title. Why is the MSP name valuable? I'll tell you why. The term MSP, the term managed services, is valuable because for 30 years, we have been trying to make those two terms more recognizable. Right? You younger generation, this is where that connection, that link between the generation divide comes in handy. Because if you talk to some of the older folks out there in managed services land and you said, hey, you know, what was it like in managed services in the end of the 90s and early 2000s? What they'd probably end up telling you is, well, guess what? Imagine still struggling like you do today, trying to sell, trying to deliver services, but nobody understands the term MSP or managed services. Like, you're trying to sell to the same types of customers, but MSP and managed services doesn't exist. You have to connect those two dots for every customer and prospect that you have. Imagine that world. Imagine it. And today, everybody understands MSPs. They all understand what an MSP is. I turn on the TV and I see on major networks, television ads that talk about managed services, managed IT services, managed IT solutions, all the same theme. Undeniably, managed services they're talking about. It's everywhere. And yes, we weren't the only ones doing it, but if we weren't at the head of the spear, at the tip of the spear, we were certainly amongst a few groups that were really trying hard to promote and advocate for the term MSP and the business model of managed services. That's what the MSP Alliance has been doing for 23 years. And I've addressed this before, right? So it's not because the MSP Alliance has its name that I am so fiercely passionate about keeping the name. Because honestly, if you guys wanted to call it the X Factor Alliance, right? Or X Factor, or whatever, come up with a new name, we would change our name, right? That's not the issue. The issue is, why throw out something that has name recognition at all? Put differently, why make it harder for someone who wants to pay you money to deliver managed services, whatever it is you want to call it, why make it harder for them to find you by saying, we're going to throw away MSP, we're going to throw away managed services and call ourselves something completely new? I'm no marketing expert, but I'm pretty sure that's not smart business.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.